as I say there, Mark, it seems to me we seem to be seeing these once-in-a-hundred-year events crop up more and more in our lifetime. Every year, the summer is the hottest one on record. Every winter is something like the warmest or the rainiest, the wettest or something. And these natural disasters seem to be keeping happening and happening. I mean, is this something to do with our perception, or really do we see these disasters becoming more common?
Well, it's a great question, Sean. And there's a couple of things going on. One is that we have better reporting and better recording of these events. And so that means that we get a picture of what's happening, say, in Latin America or in Europe. And so that gives us more examples of these sorts of extreme events. But what the science shows is, you're 100% right, there is increased extremes, and the frequency of those is going up, and the severity of those tends to be going up as well. And it's only recently that the science has become much more definitive on this, being able to attribute particular events to influences of climate change, and to be able to aggregate the collective impact of these extreme events, which by their nature only happen infrequently. So it's not that easy to distinguish the signal from the noise. So there's a few things going on, but the evidence is clear that extremes are getting worse because of climate change.
Yeah, in terms of those extremes that we mentioned there, I mean, people often dismiss them. When these kind of floods or these big events kind of happen, the bushfires and the like, they point out that Australia is and always has been a country of extremes. When we look at climate change and the rising temperatures of climate change, do we have a real one-to-one idea of the relationship between those rising temperatures, the things we can put down mathematically as these numbers are going up, to the big events like the flooding we've seen over the past week, and really link the two together?
Well, we are a land of extremes, in some ways, the most affected continent. And so there is that element of having experienced bad conditions before, and we see in the news, for example, with this flood, that there were previous floods back in the 1960s and the 1800s, which were of similar or maybe even greater magnitude. And just because you had a bigger flood in the past doesn't actually mean that we're not experiencing change in extreme events. So it's not so much an individual event that gives us that signal. It's when we look across, larger areas and the frequency of those extreme events and the size of those extreme events that we get a much clearer picture. And when we do that, we see that increase in the damage function of extremes. And this is popping up very clearly in the insurance industry records, where hydrometeorological, water-based, flood-based insurance damages have increased by a factor of 3 to 4 across the globe. And so clearly we're seeing a really big significant increase in events and the damage from those events. And the science behind that is really simple, is that as we warm the atmosphere can hold more water, and more water means more energy. And so when we get these events, they've actually got a bigger bucket to dump on us, and they've got a lot more energy to whip up stormy conditions. Mm. And that's why we're seeing not only the frequency of these change, but also the damage from each of these change.
Well, continuing on with that idea of Australia as the land of extremes and this extreme weather, I mean, I've heard people describe Australia and climate change as the kind of the canary in the coal mine. We're going to see the effects in Australia first before it does ravage a lot of the rest of the world. Are scientists kind of looking towards Australia? Are scientists worldwide kind of looking towards Australia and sort of saying, well, these are some of the possibilities we're seeing emerge?
I think you can pretty much look anywhere in the world and you'll see emerging extremes. And in some ways, the canary in the coal mine isn't so much Australia, but it's the high latitudes in Siberia, Scandinavia, where temperatures are going up faster than anywhere else. And so I don't know that we necessarily want to claim that crown. And you can look for, say, extreme fires. You can look at California or the Mediterranean zone and find, really severe fires there as well, or Chile as well. And so it's not as though we're alone in this. The nature of Australia, though, means we do get a really big assortment of different extremes. So, massive fires and massive cyclones and, big droughts and big floods. And so we sort of experienced pretty much the whole spectrum of those extreme events. And so I think it's not trying to put us up there in some particularly significant place, but I think what we can say is that the nature of those extremes and how they're changing in Australia is very consistent with how they're changing elsewhere in the world in similar circumstances, and it's very consistent with our understanding of science.
And just finally, obviously, you are coming from a department looking towards solutions for some of these problems. I guess my concern is when I hear the Premier of New South Wales describe this as a once-in-a-100-year event, if it's going to happen in another 5 years, we're not going to be prepared because we're looking 100 years in the future. So, well, that's a long way off before we have to worry about another one of those again. If we are seeing these in increasing frequency, are the strategies actually there to deal with them on a governmental level?
Yeah. The sort of one in 100 year doesn't mean it happens every 100 years on the dot type thing. It just means on average, an event of this magnitude would happen once every 100 years if the climate was stable, and presuming our historical records are representative of the long-term risk distribution of events. There's two things happening, though. One is that the climate isn't stable and we're changing it, and that's through greenhouse gas emissions. And that means that what used to be a one in 100-year event may now be like a one in 50-year event. And the projections are for those what we call return periods, those probabilities, to keep coming down. So what used to be a very infrequent event suddenly becomes a fairly frequent event, and that's a real worry. Just by itself, the frequency will change. There's also the concern about increasing the size of these events, and not only more frequent, but also bigger. So we can see that, for example, in cyclones, they're already becoming more frequent, but they're also more severe. And so we're seeing proportionately more of the severe cyclones occurring, the Category 3, 4, and 5. And the second one is whether our historical records are an adequate sample. And because our records, the sort of statistical records only go back about 100 years or so in Australia, we can look at things like coral records and we can see extreme events happening in the past which are well outside anything that's happened in the last few hundred years. So that means that our estimates of risk are necessarily incomplete. So events can happen which are well outside the envelope of historical experience.
Well, Mark, pleasure to have you back on the program to discuss this one this morning. We live in interesting times, I think, is the old curse, and I think it's mostly certainly true when it comes to talk about climate change. Really do appreciate your time.
A pleasure, Sean. Have a great day.